So today we're not going to look directly at the text, but we're going to look at some introductory material concerning the book of Exodus. But before that, I just kind of need to refresh ourselves. We've already looked at this before about just the nature of the books of the law, okay? The books of the law. So this is part of the first section of the Hebrew canon called the Torah, or the teachings, or the law. So Exodus is part of the first five books, which is the first section of the Hebrew canon, and it's usually called the Torah, okay? Jews will refer to it as the Torah. They'll also refer to it as the law. We say there wasn't any law in Genesis. Well, you need to understand, remember, they don't see them as five individual books. They see them as one unit, okay? One unit, and we'll explain that in a moment. Five scrolls, but one unit, one continuous story or one continuous text, okay? So it's called the Torah, the teachings, or the law, all right? This section in the Septuagint is known as the Pentateuch, the five scrolls. Now, you say, what in the world is the Septuagint? Well, around the time after Alexander the Great, when he conquered the Middle East, he established a city called Alexandria, and there was a large number of Jews who lived in Alexandria. Now, during that time after, before the Roman period, it was basically all of the Middle East in that area was basically influenced and under the rule of the Greeks. So they were Hellenists. And so the common language that was being spoke, the primary language that was being spoke, was Greek. So the writers, these Jewish writers in Alexandria at the time, decided to make a Greek copy of the Hebrew text. So they made a Greek copy of the Hebrew canon, and it was called the Septuagint. Now, the interesting thing is if you won't read this necessarily when you are reading through the Gospels, but many times when Jesus quotes from the Old Testament, he quotes from the Septuagint, okay? He's quoting from the Septuagint. So, as far as the Septuagint is concerned, this is called the Pentateuch, and it's called the five scrolls. That's what Pentateuch means. Now, after Genesis, each book begins with the conjunction and. So, if you were to look at the first verse in the text after Genesis, each book begins with the word and, except for Numbers. Numbers doesn't do that. But Exodus begins with and, Leviticus begins with and, Deuteronomy begins with and. Okay? Basically talking about the continuation of the text. So Genesis to Deuteronomy is a continuous account by Moses concerning creation through Moses' life. So it's a continuous account. We happen to have divided it into five books. Do you understand? Okay? We have divided it into five books. So let's talk about the book of Exodus now, okay? The book of Exodus. First of all, the title, all right? In the Hebrew canon, in the Hebrew, it is the first word of the book, and this is what it is. And these are the words. So that's really the Hebrew title, and these are the words, okay? You'll say, well, how do they get Exodus? Well, you're going to see here in a moment how that happened, the progression of how that happened. From the Septuagint, from the Septuagint translation, it means a way out or a road out. So from the Septuagint, the title was chosen a way out or a road out. A way out of where? Egypt, okay? And where do we get Exodus from? Well, are you ready? In the Latin Vulgate of Jerome, it is Exodus. So the title Exodus that you have in your Bible comes from the Latin Vulgate that Jerome translated of the into Latin from the Greek and Hebrew text. Do you understand? That's the Latin Vulgate is the Latin translation of the Greek and Hebrew text. And that was done by the church father known as Jerome. Okay? So let's talk about some general observations about Exodus. Okay, so let's talk about some general observations. We'll spend a little bit of time here. First of all, the date. The date of Exodus is 13th century BC, around 1290, during the reign of Ramses II. Pharaoh Ramses II. So the date of the Exodus, there's two dates. I'm just giving you the one that is most accepted by conservative evangelical scholars, is around the 13th century. And the reason why is a lot of archaeology even points to this date being the date when the Exodus occurred, when Israel left Egypt and then conquered Palestine, took the promised land, okay? So the date is 13th century B.C. Now, there is a later date. I think it's like maybe the 11th or 10th century, and the pharaoh at the time is Amenhotep II. But that's not, we don't accept that date, okay? Liberal scholars would say it's later, but that doesn't fit into the history of the area, okay? So the date of the Exodus is the 13th century B.C. All right? So stop for a moment. So the date of the Exodus is, okay, so we're living in the 21st century right now, right? Add 13 centuries to that, that's 3,400 years ago. So these events occurred 3,400 years ago, all right? Now, the book of Exodus, it continues the history begun in Genesis. Now remember, we just studied Genesis. When Genesis ends, what's the big thing that happened when Genesis ends? Who ends up in Egypt? The children of Israel, or Jacob and his sons. Do you know what I'm saying? 70 adult males and their families. And remember, in Genesis, we were told the prophecy given to Abraham that they would go to what? Go to Egypt and spend several generations there, over 400 years, in slavery. Okay? That was a prophecy given to Abraham, but then they would be brought out. So we understand that when Genesis ends. They end up in Egypt, and Exodus begins 400 and some years later. The account begins 400 and some years later, and it's a continuation of the history of Genesis. Now, I think it's interesting. Have you noticed? Okay, well, why don't we know what happened during those 400 years? You're going to see in the first chapter a brief account, but it's just very brief, of those years. But pretty much you don't know anything about what happens in those 400 years, right? Not at all. Anybody got a reason why? Huh? Well, God was silent. Yeah, well, there's no record. That's a good answer. Anybody else got? There's a more obvious answer. You want to know what it is? You don't need to know. It doesn't add to the story or take away from the story. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, all we know is that they spent 400 and some years as slaves to Pharaoh. That's all you need to know. And also what you need to know is that in 400 and some years, God was protecting them, ensuring their purity to make sure that they would not intertwine with what? The other nations. Okay? So knowing all the details of what happened during those 400 and some years, yeah, you don't need to know. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to know. It's not relevant to us. All right, so it documents the development of the chosen family into the chosen nation. All right, so stop. When we end in Genesis, the record records that with Jacob, 70 went down to Egypt. 70 males. 70 men with their wives and servants and everything. All right? When you open up into Exodus, they're over a million. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's no longer just a family. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, they're all cousins, but they, you know, like my daddy said, you don't claim them after the second. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, so they're all related, but there's a million or more of them. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a million. So, Exodus documents the development of the chosen family into the chosen nation. The chosen nation, okay? So though they are enslaved,